Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like going fishing, but we use master bait. We've mastered the bait. We've got master bait. We're wanking. We're having a fish and a wank at the same time.
Hey, on it, Miranda. Miranda.
The joke Miranda, was in there Miranda. Somewhere. Yes.
Why do you think you're like this? What do you think happened? For God's sake, my name is Bibi Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And who the fuck are we traumatising today?
Today, we are going to be talking to a relationship and dating coach, which I think, frankly, is just what we need.
No, I don't need it. I don't need it.
I protest. And we're going to be talking about mask fishing.
What?
Exactly.
Hi, I'm Sarah Louise Bryan, and I make love happen for a living. I'm a relationship expert, dating coach, and international matchmaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah Louise Ryan, relationship expert, dating coach, international matchmaker. Whoa. And we have dared, we have had the audacity to get to interrupt her daily life to come on and talk about mask fishing.
Oh my goodness.
First of all, there's nothing you can teach me about dating. There's nothing you can teach me about relationships. Nothing.
Maybe you could teach me a few things.
Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Why don't you start off by telling me what the hell mark fishing, what is it called?
Mark fishing. Mask fishing.
Mask fishing.
Yeah, if you're from Manchester, where I'm from, we say mask fishing.
Oh, sorry.
No, I literally just heard about this term 2 days ago, and I thought, what is it about the Urban Dictionary that needs to add more terrible phrases to modern dating, as it's already a bit of a minefield? And yes, more than happy to answer that. Mask fishing is basically a term. It's either in a positive or negative stance, depending on the circumstances that it's in, where somebody is attracted to somebody, they're wearing a mask, and then when they take the mask off, perhaps they are in a social bubble, who knows, they find that they are not attracted to them. So that is, in one instance, it's just chemistry. You've got it or you don't. Attraction, you have it or you don't. However, the other stance or take on mask fishing is that there are certain people using apps or social media who are kind of removing all photographs of themselves where they are not covered up over the face and, you know, the nose and the mouth and all of that stuff. Mm. And they are trying to actually mislead or hide their identity or not show up as their full selves. And so somebody took it upon themselves to dub it mask fishing, not to be confused with cat fishing. Yeah. And create and dub it that and put it in the Urban Dictionary and then tell the whole world that the dating scene needs a new term. And here we are.
A new term. Oh, my God. It's so... I mean, where do you even start? Like, what are people hoping to achieve by taking all their other pictures off and just having a picture of their mask? Like, are they genuinely just, like, trying to hide it from the missus or something? Like,
well, there's a few different kind of takes on it. One is that it's kind of attractive that somebody comes across as a humanitarian, you know, kind of,
really?
You know, that supporting COVID in such... supporting the slow of COVID, not COVID itself, in such a way that they are, you know, really trying to write home about how they don't go anywhere without a mask, and this is, who they are. They are a humanitarian, or that they are really trying to hide who they are. Perhaps they've got something to hide, or they are insecure, not showing up as their most confident selves or their full selves at all. By hiding half of their face and going from there. But who would swipe right, or up and down, which way it is these days, who would swipe right on somebody who has a mask on and you can't see their face for safety reasons? I'll never know.
Because at some point you're going to have to take it off, aren't you? You know,
maybe
like
not. Maybe it's a blue birthmark.
A tattoo.
Just a tattoo.
I just think dating's so complicated as it is. There are so many, you know, options to meet people. I guess what people aren't really getting out there and meeting IRL anymore or as much as they were. So why are people making it even more complicated unless they have something to hide? I understand what the other take on it, where it's, you know, you've been on a date with someone, they take their mask off and you find that you're not attracted to them. Well, that's just, you know, our makeup, isn't it? We are either drawn into somebody physically in the first instance anyway, and then we're stimulated by their brain thereafter, or we're not. And so I do get that, you know, that can be a thing, but the actual showing up online on dating apps wearing a mask and hiding half of yourself is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Ridiculousness.
Yeah, just don't do it.
But isn't there that app that I quite like, that idea of you fall for someone's personality and their brain and whatever else, their morals and their politics over their looks? And there's an app, isn't there? What we were talking about it, Miri, that you kind of, the face isn't, you know, just isn't revealed. Yeah. It's everything else about you. But yeah, this just seems a bit bloody weird. People are weird. Would you wear a mask during sex? I would.
Oh, I mean, your kink might not be my kink, but I'm not judging your kink.
That's a very diplomatic
answer. I feel like your fingers were crossed when you said that.
How would you breathe?
I wouldn't wear a bloody mask. I'm wearing it in co-op. I'm wearing it walking down the pavement. I'm not wearing it in Bebe's sexy times.
I think context is key. What kind of mask are we talking about? Like, is it one of them full horse head masks? Is it one of Margaret Thatcher? Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot of different types.
I'm really claustrophobic. I can't have anything that's too much.
Well, I was also thinking, what kind of, you know, sexual intercourse is it? Because if it's so, if you can breathe just fine, then it might be a lot of lovemaking. You know, it depends on the context of sex.
Miranda and I prefer to call it lovemaking, especially when we're together.
My basic attitude towards dating now is to put on my profile that I'm just looking for a willing volunteer. Now, is that wrong?
You're just looking for a willing never settle. Never settle for less than you deserve. And if, you know, that person hasn't come along yet, you know, the people that you've met, they just weren't your door to open. I just believe that life is so short. I almost swore then. Life is so short that we should just live our most incredible life today, yesterday, tomorrow, and just don't ever settle for less than real connection, real love, like 360 degree intimacy of the mind, body, soul. If we're settling, then what are we, you know, what are we here for? We only get one life.
Oh, you can swear as much as you want to, by the way. We don't fucking care. That's fine.
It's not Big Brother.
It's not. It's fine. Say as much fucking bugger as you want. That's all we're about. It's a sex podcast.
Love it.
Why are all these things happening? Like, it just seems we've got such a massive overload of all these terms and all these new dating fads. What is going on?
Well, I'm thinking that at this time, in this surreal time that we're in, people just have too much time on their hands to think. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, it's great to be introspective, to take stock and think about what you want and what you don't want and all of that jazz, like in life, in love, in the bedroom, whatever it is, whatever tickles your pickle. However, it also has, you know, it's a double-edged sword where people have too much time on their hands, that they're coming up with these awful terms that are not serving anybody. It's like, we do not need a term like that. We can just acknowledge that somebody wasn't confident or comfortable enough to show up as their full selves, and that is that. Then when they take off their mask, that's really quite simple too. I think it's just a fun thing for some journalists to write about right now. When all we're getting is really dreary, really negative news and updates on the world as it stands. Yeah. So I guess when dating terms are dubbed and the Urban Dictionary publishes them, then people just want to talk about it. It's something fun to laugh at and all of that stuff. But yeah. I reckon take it with a pinch of salt.
And what do you have advice for anyone at the moment in these weird times? Do you have you found anything? We're now, what, like 4 or 5 months in?
Yeah.
Have you found any sort of solid advice that you could give to people?
So do you mean for those who are single and certain, those in relationships that are locked down together or apart?
What? Let's start with the singles first. That's me.
For singles, I would say just if you're on those swiping apps, do get on a video date as quickly as possible. Pour yourself a glass of wine or a cup of tea or whatever, you know, tickles your fancy, and just have real conversations with real people in this time. What I've read is that singles who are searching for love or starting their dating journey and just figuring out who they are and what they want are really showing up as their most authentic selves, because they're just like, actually, I've taken so much stock of myself this year and life is too short. I'm not going to play dating games. I've seen a lot less games around dating, actually. I'm hearing a lot less of, you know, messing each other around and just real connection at the moment, which is really exciting.
Oh, wow. How come it's taken a pandemic just to get real connection? Because we've gone through this whole internet bubble of people of ghosting and zombieing and all that thing. So like,
yeah, I reckon it's just kind of really shaken people to their core around, you know, how fragile life really is and what they really want. And also, I've been in the dating industry for 10 years now, working as a matchmaker. And what I have found in, you know, in kind of a trend, so to speak, is that when we experience a space or a place of adversity, we experience people trying to forge deeper connections. So there's a peak in singles looking for love in political adversity, economic adversity. And now in a world pandemic, we have seen more people signing up for self-discovery on coaching or looking for connections or for matchmaking and all of that stuff. And, you know, we saw it, you know, when conversations with Brexit came around, saw it, you know, a long time ago when we were in a, you know, recovering from an economic crash. And now we're in, you know,
we're in all three at once.
And people are just really taking stock and just like, no more games, haven't got time for this. My relationship's not working out, or my current circumstances around dating aren't serving me, and I'm not happy, and I want to find somebody or create the dating journey that will make me happy. And it's actually so refreshing. I thought, I'm going to hang up my matchmaking hat. I work in the offline space and connect people in real life. How can I physically do that when we're in a world pandemic and we're in lockdown? And I just thought, that's it. The business is done. Like, you know, I see it as a vocation. I love what I do so much, rather than just a profession. And actually, we saw a massive surge in inquiries and I was blown away. Absolutely.
How has your approach changed? How did you match make before and hopefully after compared to what you're doing now?
Well, I guess because I love what I do so much and so do the team, we decided to lift all of our fees and BBC picked it up. We just decided to call it Mission Free Matchmaking. You know, 2020 is shit enough. Like, if we really love what we do, let's put our money where our mouth is and let's just help people connect on Zoom and let's get to know them and let's call it Mission Free Matchmaking and see who signs up and, you know, and match them on their values, their interests, and curating conversation. And so journalists have picked it up, and before we knew it, we were on BBC Radio 5 Live and we were getting like 100 inquiries a day for people. For people just wanting to connect inquiries from Australia, even someone in India as well, you know, across the States and the UK. And then after that, so we kind of did that for a month. And then we started to create a low cost package where we'd set people up on Zoom dates and we'd do that consistently. And then we're now starting matchmaking again, because certain places in the UK people can meet. We can't do any international stuff right now, but we're trying our best. So actually we really just changed it. We removed any business model there was and just did what we were supposed to do and what it says on the tin. So yeah, really interesting, really fun actually.
Did you meet a whole new different audience? Because it's different for people who are happy to go on free things compared to the people who are trying to, you know, who will pay for a service like yours, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you sort of like learn from what people were like in different ways, or?
Saw a massive surge in kind of key worker applications. Yeah, because I guess they were seeing a lot of doom and gloom and working their socks off, living, a very full-on life in a fragile time. And then when they were having downtime, we were getting applications from, you know, people that provide the data to doctors, to nurses, and it just almost felt like it was the right thing to do, and the worlds collided in a really nice way. Oh gosh, look, romantic, hey?
Oh, rainbow mantic? No, rainbow romantic. I'm just imagining your little office with all the little We Heart NHS. That's why we're going to set you up.
When you say, oh, did you attract, you know, a different kind of clientele or a different pool of people that you wouldn't normally meet? Because we had so many inquiries and we were very vocal about that, we actually got so many people offering to volunteer to learn how to matchmake. Basically just really good people skills and really, you know, learning about values and wants and all of that stuff, and bringing people together based on that. And we did take on a team of volunteer matchmakers as well. Oh. Some people had applied for it.
Really cool. I volunteer as tribute. If there is anything I want to do, it's matchmake. I want to know how to matchmake. What is it you're looking for? Like, because I don't know, is matchmaking an intrinsic thing? Is it something that just comes to you, or is there something that you can teach people?
I think you have to be an incredible listener. And I mean, not, you know, like actively listening, like to the small details. And I think somebody asked me this question yesterday, actually, what does it take to make a really good match? It's like, well, I'm ever a realist, actually. I mean, everyone thinks that I am a romantic, but I actually think that love isn't enough. And I think lifestyles have to be compatible. I think and goals have to be compatible. Non-negotiables have to be taken into consideration, because once we, you know, we should meet somebody romantically in the middle and be at the same table and on the same page as them all the time. However, we should never compromise ourselves and our own integrity for what we need. And so whilst I believe that you should bring people together that you think could be compatible, and if they fall in love, great, but logistically you have to take into consideration location, lifestyle, wants. I mean, you can't match somebody who, you know, wants to lie and binge on the sofa and watch Netflix all weekend with somebody that's like climbing mountains every 2 days, like, you know. And I do know these people. So, you know, exactly.
What questions or what answers would you recommend people then should write on their profile? What sort of details? Are there like three or four basic details that people should write on their profile then in order to find their a partner?
Oh, well, that's interesting. I think that not just about connecting with the right people, because people, you know, when they go online dating, they think it's about quantity in matches. And that's kind of like, for lack of a better term, it's like paradox of choice, where we think, you know, like more is better. But I always think it's like the grass is greener on the next swipe, because singles are like looking, oh, well, he or she looks great. Now I'd like to just know who's on the other side, just in case, you know, just to see. So I think sieving out those who aren't compatible with you is just as important. And I used dating apps a few years ago before I met my partner, and I was really direct, and it served me well. I did meet my partner on a dating app because I couldn't date my clients, you know.
Was there one person? Was there a person there that you think, oh, if I could, I would?
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. So I actually wrote on my dating profile, looking for a partner, not a pen pal.
And so, nice.
And it might seem direct and it might have turned the wrong person, turned some people off, but I know that I'm a direct person and they would have been, you know, not my door to open anyway. And yeah. I think I listed my hobbies, but also kept it quite soft as well, because I'm quite feminine, even though I'm direct and people think, oh, you know, alpha means like not soft or feminine or whatever. And so I was just like, you know, love reggae and Sunday mornings. And as much as I love to read, and then I listed the books that I'd recently read and the countries that I traveled to. And then I obviously didn't list my profession. I'm sure it would have been guess half.
You're there fishing for business.
I know. I was looking for love.
Because you're not born a match. So you had a background in journalism, wasn't
yes.
it?
I'm sure. So when I graduated in international marketing, and I adapted it to the fashion industry, and I moved from Manchester to London to write about fashion, and I was going to Fashion Week, and I was like the PA and a journalist for an editor of a magazine, and I had my own lifestyle blog and all of that kind of wow. stuff. And then I was like, this is effing boring. Where are the people where are the people that want to talk about the real stuff and that want to really connect? And what am I doing here? I mean, I've done a degree, I've adapted it to the fashion industry, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'll move to London and be Victoria Beckham. I was like, yeah, I'll run a fashion empire and I'll write about it all the time. And then when I got into the fashion industry, I was like, this is not for me. I'm, you know, I like real people. I'm Mancunian, very down to earth, and I want to have real conversations about anything. And then I just was on a Google search and I found a little thumbnail this small when Google ads were only down the side of the page.
Yes.
And I saw seeking junior matchmaker in Mayfair. So I went along, had a interview with the guy who owned this matchmaking agency, and he was just like, yeah, we sat there for 6 hours in my interview chatting about
no.
how we're gonna, yeah, what we're gonna do, how we're gonna do more events. I mean, what do you think? And I was just so all in. I mean, I'm kind of all or nothing anyway.
You don't say. I already want to be your best friend. We've been talking to you.
I'm just an all or nothing kind of girl.
And like, because you do a whole range of things. It's not just matchmaking, but heartbreak recovery. Oh my God.
Oh,
tell
wow.
me about heartbreak recovery.
Okay. So before I met my now partner in 2016, I was in I was running a different matchmaking agency then, Global, lived around the world, you know, traveling a lot. I was with a partner for 7.5 years. And basically, I went through my own ghosting where, you know, one day we had a home together. He just decided that he was done and didn't come home. And I, as a female in the dating industry, I'm already in an industry that's dominated by men, you know, that run apps and create websites and tech and all of that. And I already felt I've been doing this for almost a decade, and I've been, you know, I'm in my 30s. So I was in my 20s running my own business, you know, just freaking out, feeling all that female imposter syndrome anyway.
Yeah.
And then I experienced my own ghosting with my partner. I thought, well, what the F do I know about matchmaking and putting high net worth professionals together when I can't even see what's going on in my own relationship? And so I'm a creative as much as I am a strategist for the dating industry. And all I could do was write. I was like, how am I going to get up and go to work today and, you know, sell hope and faith in love when actually I didn't see what was going on my own doorstep? And I like to share authenticity and my vulnerability. And I just put it out there to the world. I was like, guys, I'm not okay, hun. And here's what happened, you know, and I wrote about it, and it had like 3,500 readers a day. And I created like a little book out of it. And it was just called The 30 Days of Heartbreak. And I just thought, there's got to be some other people going out there, in the world who experience their own ghosting of, you know, and I heard so many stories, you know, people that had left marriages, a guy had left his wife with PA and the children. And I had such an outpouring of people that really resonated with the story that I say that it loved me back to life by sharing it. And I then started a business called The Heartbreak Coach, and that was helping, you know, I really connected with that at the time. I don't run that anymore because the whole overarching coaching business is called Love Lessons, and that helps me, I help other people strategize their way forward in relationships and dating in general. So it's not just about heartbreak. It's about the lessons we learn from loving or losing love. And so it was like a complete rebrand. But yeah, that was definitely a thing in 2016, and then had to kind of pave my way forward. And I did that just by sharing every day what I was going through. And it was really refreshing, actually. I've never done anything like that in my life.
I think that's also really refreshing to know about as someone who like be interested in a matchmaker, because, you know, your life isn't perfect when you know, it's not about like, well, is the matchmaker going out with someone or married to someone or whatever? It's, you know, you're the person on the outside that can see what two need to do to get together, and using your life experience and your own vulnerability can help that.
Yeah. And I just think that I don't put people together with rose-tinted glasses. I understand the intricacies and the hurdles that life can throw at us, total curveballs, and it's how we deal with it. And it's, you know, I now ask questions that I wouldn't have done maybe 8 to 10 years ago. I'm asking people, okay, so your marriage broke down and now you're looking to find love again. What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about what you're willing to accept? What did you learn about what you're not willing to accept? What was lacking? Or what was fulfilling you? And let's talk about those things and let's work on them, because they're important to take forward to find a love that lasts. And not just, you know, it's that idea that people come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. Well, you must have taken something for the reason or the season. So let's work on the next stage. So that's my kind of philosophy. I guess I'm far more challenging these days.
She says with such a grin, oh, I'm so challenging.
So challenging.
In what way? Like, is it towards your clients rather than just
I just mean, you know, 10 years ago, I would have sat there with my little black book in my early 20s, just asking, I don't know, oh, a guy, let's say a pilot, I'd meet the craziest, most wonderful, amazing people. Tell me what you're looking for. Okay, I'll go and find it. But now I'm like, why are you looking for that?
Oh.
Or if I have a woman that says to me, I've got a really specific type, here's my shopping list, let me show you my type. And I'll say, well, your type didn't work so far. So let's look at what didn't work. Let's look at what you are actually looking for. I guess I'm far more of a conversationalist now about matchmaking and helping people, you know, pave the way rather than just taking their shopping list and saying, actually, let me see if I can find it. Because what I found from that is, you know, I'm here to set people up for success in love and for dating. I'm not here to just say, yes, I can deliver that. And I have a responsibility for running a company with a good reputation to manage those expectations and to be able to deliver. And if I can't, I just can't take them on as clients. I mean, if you're looking for like George Clooney and he has to speak 8 languages and also be willing to move to Singapore, I mean, well, let's talk about it.
That all comes under willing volunteer. That's what I meant. How did I? I wasn't that clear. Thank you so much. Where can people, if we might be about to go into another lockdown, where can people get more information?
Oh, you can find me at loveconnectionsglobal.com. If you're looking for matchmaking or if you want a bit of dating advice or any of that jazz, you can go to sarahlouiseryan.com and we'll be in touch.
Thanks very much to our guest, Sarah Louise Ryan. What do you think? You're going to be giving mask fishing a go, BB?
I think anything that improves my odds. Whatever it takes. I'm up for it. You know me. I like to follow the rules. I'm happy to masterfish. I still don't quite know what it means, but I'm happy to do it. My name is Bebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk.
You can get in touch with us on Twitter. And if you're going to have a profile picture, make sure it's your full face, not just your eyes. At Good Sex, Bad Sex with a triple X at the end.
And also, if you have a sex question or query or topic you'd like us to cover, get in touch at info@sexpod.co.uk.
And hopefully, God willing, if there's a God, we will see you next week.
We'll see all of you.
See all of you. All of you.
All of you. Thank you.